is an interview with Jenny and Bruno Degley for the oral history program for Youngstown State University at the Degley home on 469 Orlo Lane, Youngstown, on Saturday, July 20th, 1974, at 2:15 p.m. Now, Mr. Degley, did you lose a job because of the depression? And if so, when did you become unemployed?
April of 1931, and I was unemployed until June of 1934.
Did you know many people who were out of work for a long period of time?
Definitely.
Do you think this made them feel bitter, most of the people, or do you feel that only people that were affected in a way that where some of them lost homes and things like that, is this the condition that under which some people felt bitter?
I think so.
People were bitter certainly because number one, they lost all faith in the government and the president at the time, because his slogan was, when he ran for office, there would be two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot, which sort of embedded in people's mind. And when the Depression came, there was nobody to blame it on except the President of the United States at the time. And people, whenever as they lost their jobs, they didn't become bitter because there were so many people in the same boat at the time. And the people's attitude at the time was they didn't have the attitude, it could only happen to me. The attitude was, it's happening to all of us. And there was a closer relationship amongst the people that were unemployed at the time than there was when people were working. And it seemed as though the families were closer at the time and the neighbors were closer at the time. And it was a case of where hand-me-downs, people outgrew clothes, and if they saw that the neighbor who was in need could use them, they were gladly accepted.
How do you think people that were out of work felt about accepting welfare?
They, again, it was just another thing.
I think they were glad to accept. They had to.
Pride, people who had pride had to forget pride at the time.
They needed it and they accepted it.
And it was no disgrace to go down to a relief line where they were giving away free flour or free butter or free picnic hams, or clothing, because you would see people who were in the money at one time and lost everything overnight, and they had felt the same as I did, who had nothing at the time, and to come down to our level, they felt that their pride wasn't hurt.
Were there certain guidelines that had to be followed before you could be eligible for welfare?
Oh, definitely. You had to have no income, period. And if you had a radio, you had to sell it. If you had a telephone, regardless of how bad you needed it, you had to get rid of it. And if you had an automobile, you had to take your automobile license to the welfare agency. And if you told them that you had gotten a job someplace, they would give you back your automobile license.
How did people feel about the federal government's unemployment measures, such as the Civilian Conservation Corps?
It was a shot in the arm at the time, because my brother was one of those that was selected for the Army Conservation Corps. And it just seemed as though that it was a shot in the arm to the people, and it was a shot in the arm to the government, that the government was doing something for the people. Now, my brother he joined the Conservation Corps, and he was sent to California, and he received $30 a month.
Now,
in addition to his living expenses, which he was permitted to send home at the time. And we also received welfare in addition to that, being that he volunteered for the Conservation Corps.
Do you know anyone who worked on local CCC projects, such as the ones in Mill Creek Park?
I knew of one man who planted trees out at Meander Dam. That's the only one that I know that they planted the pine trees around our Meander Lake at that time.
What did people feel was the main cause for them being out of work during the Depression?
Well, the crash of the stock market.
Which business interest then at home, do you think that helped cause the Depression?
No, it wasn't the business interest at home. It was the general trend throughout the whole United States. What was happening here was happening in California, and what was happening in California happened up in Washington, and it took the whole United States by one, you know what I mean, just one sweep. It didn't affect communities and then counties and then cities and then states, but it was just one, everything went down overnight.
What view did people take of the state government's efforts to relieve the Depression?
Well, they couldn't pinpoint the trouble with the state, but the state did everything they could. The state had no finances to help. Everything had to come from the federal government. There was no state projects or city projects.
And the federal government had things like the Civilian Conservation Corps.
And the WPA, CWA, and some other agencies that I can't remember the names.
Did the city make efforts to help individuals?
The city didn't, at that time, didn't make any help, offer any help to individuals. What they did was offer help to everybody that was out of work, which they had formed a soup line up on Wood Street. And it was mostly the people who were in those soup lines that were individuals who were single men that came over from Europe and were forced out of work. They had no place to live. They lived at the place they called the house by the side of the road. They were also involved in this soup line, and yep, families were in this soup line to receive their bowl of soup and then take it home, or they would go there with a container and they would give them a big container of soup, which was good, plus a loaf of bread to supply them for the day, in addition to the relief that they had gotten, but they were permitted. Now, this was done by the city.
Do you feel that during that time the people felt that any specific individuals were to blame for causing the Depression?
Well, at that time, like I say, again, they blamed it back on Hoover because the promises that he made. Now, this was the way I felt. I was just a teenager at the time, and I can still remember when Hoover was campaigning for president, and for a man to make those statements and offers, and overnight the country just go in reverse.
So
everybody's attitude, and they felt that their opinion was that Hoover was to blame, but yet it wasn't totally his fault.
How long after Hoover was in office did the Depression occur?
He ran in 1928. It happened 3 years, 3 years, well, 31, March and April of 31, 3 years after he was in office.
Would you say that 31 was worse than when the stock market crashed in 1929?
No, 31 was the worst. 1931 was the worst. That was as low as I think it ever got.
What did people think of Franklin Roosevelt at that time?
At that time, again, like I say, it was a shot in the arm. And his speech, his inauguration speech, just seemed to pick the people right off the ground and took them right off their backs with the statements that he made
Well, he was very encouraging at the time with his speech.
Yeah, the statement that he made, when he made the statement, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, gave everybody an uplift. And he wasn't in office, it was a month when he made all these readjustments, closing the banks for audits, and recommending these different projects of how we could go forward, such as the concentration camp, these CC camps and CWA, and putting people back to work, which they gave them a little money, gave them a little pride.
CWA too.
Yeah.
Do you think that people worried much about what was happening around the world at this time, say the rise of Hitler in Germany, or if people felt any specific worry about the Russians with communism at the time?
No, I used to read a lot, editorials especially, and at that time the people never gave any thought about foreign affairs, communism, but we were bothered with men that didn't declare themselves as communists, but to the right hand of socialists that would promise different things if we voted for certain individuals that were not Democrats or Republicans. And that was one of the crowd gathers at the time, but that soon fell away. One of them I can still recall, who was a leading socialist at that time, developed into one of the communists. It was this fellow by the name of Hall. I don't remember his first name.
Gus Hall.
Gus Hall, that's the man. And he did a lot of soapbox preaching, which as people got back to work, his popularity fell away. And the people found that socialism wasn't the thing then, because everybody was getting back to work. It took a period of about a year before the smokestack started to pour out a lot of smoke. When you saw smoke, you knew everybody was back to work.
What did people think about the Democratic Party during this period?
Well, the ordinary people thought there was nothing like it, and they said the Democratic Party is here to stay, and they said at the time there'll never be another Republican elected. After
how they felt about the Republican Party at the time then.
Yeah.
That there'd never be another one elected.
Right.
But there was, though.
Was there any point, or do you remember at what point it seemed as though the Depression was going to be lifted a little, or the result of the Depression? When did people begin to sense that things might get better? Do you remember when that was?
Number one is when the government started these projects like CC camps and PWA and CWA, which they had to have material for these projects. And again, it was backing up, and you could see the daylight coming when these orders started coming in to the government. The government putting out these orders for these materials to these different companies, and which they had to manufacture, such as steel for the roads and steel for the bridges that the governments were building at the time, and cement and bricks for the roads that they were building, pipe for the sewers that they were laying. So it was just things like that that
began to pick up.
That was about
1934.
The stock market crashed in 1929. It crashed again in 1937. Were people aware of any worsening of their lives as a result of that second crash in 37?
No, the people weren't jolted as bad as they were in 1929, because in 1937, I think we had some form of unemployment insurance, if I'm not mistaken, and the people thought that this was just a small thing that happened in 1937 as compared to what happened in 1929.
Would you say that only people that had stock then at that time were affected by it, by the second crash?
I would say yes, because the people that didn't, the small people, they were back to work in the mills and, well, wherever you would say, that it didn't wasn't one-third as bad as it was in 1929.
How did people feel about industrial strikes during this time? Were people reluctant to go on strike?
Not at the time, because I was involved in it myself in 1937.
Big steel strike.
Yeah, well, that was the one that I was involved in. And I think if I was to tell you why I wanted to go on strike, you would say, well, by golly, he was right. Now, I lived here on the south side, and I used to have to drive all the way up to Girard. I'm only speaking for myself. I used to have to ride the buses all the way up to Girard, and the work was seasonal, and you would have to go up there and wait, and the boss would pick out his friends and put them to work, and you, even though you had seniority, the boss would come back and say, well, that's all there is. You'll have to take a chance again tomorrow. And you would go back up tomorrow, and the same thing. And well, maybe the next day you'd look out the window, it would be raining or snowing, and you'd say, well, I'm not going to go because there'll be no work. And the next day you'd go up to work and the boss would say, well, where were you yesterday? I had a job for you and you weren't around. And he used that as an excuse.
Did you feel that there was some discrimination against nationality groups at the time?
Yes. Yes. At the time, I would say yes, because I'm not going to mention the company. I worked for a long time at one of the fabricating companies. And I didn't know of any one of the ethnic groups who was a general foreman or a foreman on up of the ethnic group. And of course, I wasn't bitter about that. But I'm just going back to what made me bitter, that made me think that the strike would be the thing.
Did you work for a steel company at the time of the 37th strike?
Yes. It was a fabricating
company. Were conditions in the plant deplorable, as some say they were?
Yes, definitely.
Conditions were very bad.
Very bad.
Were there people who discovered surprising ways of making a living during the Depression? Did you know of anyone who perhaps was able to start a small business?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember of anybody starting a small business during the Depression.
Did you know of anyone who became a hobo?
No, but I can cite you a good example of hobos, which, you know, the New York Central train run from Pittsburgh up to Buffalo, which was a coal train. And if you would stand down there on the East Federal Street Bridge and watch that train go up, the train would be 40 and 50 cars long, and you would see 50 hobos, one on each car. And my mother, may her soul rest, if she would make a bowl of soup tonight, she'd say, well, I'm going to make enough for two extra people, because tomorrow morning there's going to be a hobo on my back porch knocking on my door. And would be just about every other morning there'd be a different face. Sometimes the same man would come back, but we never treated him as a hobo. My mother, he would be dirty, unshaven. He had a beard maybe 3 or 4 days and hadn't washed for 3 or 4 days, but yet you could see the goodness in him. And my mother would say, just one thing, I want you to go down the cellar and wash yourself, and you can come and eat my kitchen table.
They wouldn't be afraid to trust them then either.
Do you remember if grocery stores were well supplied during the time?
Your larger stores were. Your larger stores, even your neighborhood stores, your larger neighborhood stores, which the ones that were in business for a long time, the one that sold a full line groceries such as for meat on up, they were pretty well stocked.
Were prices high or low?
Comparable to the times, prices were low. I could give an example of prices. Now, I can still remember buying a pound of wieners for a dime and you got a pound of sauerkraut free. Or if you bought a pound of spare ribs at 13 cents a pound, you got 2 pounds of sauerkraut free.
That's very going back, isn't it?
Do the fact that some people raised a part of their food affect grocery prices, do you think?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it affected the grocery prices.
Did many people raise gardens?
Quite a few at the time. We had a garden, and my mother did a lot of canning for her own garden.
A big garden.
If people had regular jobs, what did they do with their spare time?
It's pretty hard for me to answer that.
They wouldn't do anything, I don't think.
What were the hours that you would work at the time?
Well, the first job I got during the Depression was at the CWA. I helped build Rigby Street. You had no extra money. The wages were so low, there was nothing you could do extra but feed your family.
Well, you worked from 8 to 4 every day, right?
8 to 4. Well, I got $12 a week. An 8-hour day. I worked 3 days a week because they had to. I worked every other day because they had to put so many people to work. They took turns. We worked 6 days, but I was working 3 days a week, and I got $12 for the 3 days that I worked. I got 50 cents an hour.
This was before you were married now.
Yeah, so we're talking about CWA.
You weren't married yet then.
Did people who succeeded in earning and saving money put their money in banks, or did they distrust banks?
Well, there for a short while after the Depression, the people distrusted banks, and they went into postal savings.
Do you know if anybody put their money in the stock market?
Not for a while after that. Then I don't remember, because I didn't follow it that close. I didn't follow the stock market that close.
Do you know of any other investments that people might have put money into?
No, I would say no.
Did families try to get extra money? Do you know of any way that they might have tried to acquire
health or
extra money?
Well, just if the kids got a job or something.
No, if the kids got a job, they cut you right off of relief. If they found anybody in your family was working, they right away immediately cut you off because they had these caseworkers that would investigate every day.
Else they would make money anyhow.
Were girls and women urged to find work, Mrs. Douglas? Do you remember?
There wasn't any work.
Well, here, we could say, we'll use Katie as an example.
She
worked for a Jewish family, and they paid her
$3
a week for housework, but she lived in with the people. She lived with them and only paid her $3 a week. And that was one case where the relief agency didn't bother these people. They were my in-laws they are now. Not for the $3 a week that she was living by herself.
Do you think that young people tended to leave home during this time, or do you think they tended to remain at home longer than otherwise would have been expected of them?
Well, where were they going to go if they did leave home? I had two cousins that came to live with us because they couldn't get along on what they had, and my mother had, we had room for, first when they came here with us, the situation was the same here as it was there. But they seemed more, there was more here, even though the situation was the same all over. My two cousins came and lived with us, and they felt that there was more here than there was there. And we couldn't understand it, you know.
How about boarders? I understand many families took in boarders.
During the Depression, no. They wouldn't take no boarders for nothing unless it was a relative. That's why, again, where I say the soup line came in. See?
The way people mention some people coming to live with other families in order to ease the expenses of living.
That happened. A lot of it happened. A lot of families had to double up because if they couldn't pay the rent.
Or if they lost homes.
Lost their homes. I know my mother and dad owned a 12-room house, and it was a very good friend of his that lost his home, and they put his furniture right out on the street. They had the sheriff come up and move the furniture right out of the house and set it out on the street, and this man had no place to go. And we had these three rooms available next door, and him and his five children, his wife and he and his five children came and lived in those three rooms until he got back to work.
How many were there in your family?
11.
You were one of 11 children?
I was one of 11 children, and we had my two nieces with us, too. So that would be 13 altogether.
And where were you situated in this family? Were you in the middle, at the end, or at the beginning of the...
I was at the top, the fourth from the top.
Fifth from the oldest.
Fifth from the oldest.
So that would, you would have
five behind me, yeah.
Five younger than you. Do you think that family life improved or suffered during this time?
Well, it improved because it brought families closer together, and everybody had, they were more considerate of one another. There was more closeness than...
Yeah, but I think they suffered a little bit, too.
They suffered, but it brought the kids closer together, you know. We all suffer together.
And there was something they could do or enjoy themselves or entertain or go to the theaters or show. They couldn't do that. They wanted to stay at home.
You know, if they had...
Played cards.
Entertainment?
Yeah, we played cards, listen to TV, radio. We didn't have TV. Listen to radio.
Listen to radio. You didn't have a radio. If you had a radio, they took it away from you.
But what they did, they entertained at home.
How about church attendance at the time? Was it up or down?
Well, I would say it was up because I think people took, I know if they all felt like I did, they took to praying and hoping that they thought their faith would bring them back a little bit. But as far as donations in church was concerned, that fell down
poor.
To zero.
That was poor.
Do you know whether people felt that their children should complete school at this time, or do you think that they just felt that as soon as they could get a job, that they should go out and work?
At that time they did. They got a job and went to work.
Do you know of many people who didn't finish their schooling?
Oh, definitely. In my family, I had a kid sister that didn't finish school. And I had a sister that graduated from high school that she couldn't attend the baccalaureate or the graduation exercise because we couldn't afford the clothes.
What would you say was the average length of time that kids stayed in school till the
11th grade?
No, I would say they went through school because I had a brother that was 27 years old at the time during the heart of the Depression. He had nothing to do, so he went back to high school.
Yeah, but the older kids didn't go through school. They got a job like me. I never went through school. I got a job and went to work when I was 16. I think the younger children later on were trying to finish school.
Do you feel that there was a decline of law and order during the Depression?
No, I don't think so.
No, there wasn't much robbing. I wouldn't say there was. The robbing was very little. Crime rate was low at the time.
That's right. It's worse now.
Do you know how people felt about the personal income tax that was begun in the 30s?
The only tax I can remember was they put the cigarette tax on. The state of Ohio put a cigarette tax on. That was the first tax that I can remember. They put a 2-cent tax on cigarettes, and they said it was only supposed to last for 2 or 3 years. And they never did take it off.
Still paying.
It. That's the first tax. There was no. You asked me that question about
the personal income tax.
Oh, personal income tax.
Supposed to have been started in the 30s.
That I couldn't ask because I don't remember that too well.
Did you know of any men's organizations, either veterans or other organizations, that were active during that time?
I don't remember any.
Do you remember any talk about conservation and ecology?
That time, no, because people were just glad to see the smoke come out of the chimneys at the mills.
Except for the Civilian Conservation Corps, now that had to do primarily with conservation.
That was the beginning of ecology. That was the beginning of ecology, because my brother was telling me that he was transferred from California up to Yellowstone National Park, and they went up there to clean the streams and clean the roads and to clean the park. That was one of the main projects at the time, to clean the park, to make Yellowstone National Park a recreation area for the United States National Park.
Were there any others that the Civilian Conservation Corps worked on at the time that you were?
Did they live through Mill Creek Park?
No, it wasn't Civilian Conservation Corps. I don't remember other. I can only remember my brother telling me about what he did down in California.
Did many people have radios at the time? Or would you say most people didn't have them?
Most people didn't have them, and those who had them, they had to get rid of them.
If they were to accept
relief. Right.
Welfare.
They had to get rid of their radios.
Do you remember what the favorite programs were of people that did have radios?
Amos and Andy, Fred Allen.
Molly and Goldberg's.
There was a Major Bowes show, Amateur Hour. Major Bowes Amateur Hour.
Who were McGee and Molly?
Jack Benny.
Yeah, all those shows.
And
I don't remember what else.
How about movies? Do you remember what they were like during the Depression?
Silent movies, weren't they?
No, that was the beginning of color, and I'll never forget the one show stands out in my mind was the show Sunny Side Up. That was Jeanette Gaynor. That was during Keep Your Sunny Side Up.
How about what's his name in Sunny Boy?
Al Jolson.
Al Jolson.
And the other one during the Depression was that one that the woman played the part of the colored woman was the mother of this girl. What was her name?
Oh,
I can't think of the name of the picture, but it was so. Touching.
Were the movies cheap at the time?
For 10 cents, we used to go to the Strand Theater and see first-run moving pictures.
15 cents,
For 10 cents.
Were they at the same price all the time, or were they higher in the evenings, or
no,
higher on Sundays or Saturdays?
A quarter on Sunday, I think they used to be.
At the Palace Theater, they used to have vaudeville shows, and in the afternoon they were 15 cents. And at night they were a quarter. You saw a moving picture and you saw a real good vaudeville show, which consisted of five acts of vaudeville. It would be five different acts.
That'd be stage shows.
Live stage shows. We saw Olson and Johnson was one of the favorites that stood out in my mind. Two great comedians.
Did many people attend these movies at the time?
No. Lack of money.
Yeah.
Lack of money.
Some of the men used to go in the afternoon and didn't have anything to do. They'd go during the afternoon.
Pass the time?
Pass the time away, uh-huh.
Who had automobiles then?
Well, just the rich people.
Doctors, lawyers.
Yeah. Just the ones
business
that could
people,
afford them.
Business people.
Do you remember shops that repaired automobiles? Did they do a pretty fair business, do you know?
I would say yes. I would say yes.
The one on Himrod Avenue there, what was that garage there? He was famous.
I'll tell you a story about him. The man that owned that, it was a Himrod Auto and Body Shop.
Yeah.
Then you got a haircut for 25 cents. And the man that owned this body shop come in, and I was the only one sitting there next to get a haircut. And he says to me, he says, if you let me take your turn, I'll pay for your haircut. And I brought that quarter home and told my mother and dad, and what a big thing, what you couldn't do with a quarter in those days. It still stands out in my mind as the greatest thing that ever happened to me during the Depression was that man, give me your place and I'll pay for your haircut. He was in a hurry.
Do you remember when or what year the first automobile appeared on your block on the street where you lived?
New car?
Fruit Street?
My neighbor who owned a grocery store.
Yeah. Do you remember what year that was?
1935.
Do you remember what they sold for at the time?
You bought a Ford for $1,000.
No, it was cheaper than that.
When you worked for Metropolitan.
We're going back to 1935.
Oh, then, yeah.
You could have bought a Ford for $385, a brand new Ford, which was the best Ford, which was, we called it a sedan, and it had the spare tire on the back. $385.
Now, what year was that?
1935.
That wasn't the Model T, was it?
No, it was a Model A. Model A.
Did families take vacations then?
No.
No vacations.
Do you know if people camped out?
Yes. It would go to such places as Milton Dam. I went through it myself. We used to, there was a young fellow that had a car, lived up the street from us, and we would scrounge a few potatoes, and maybe a few hot dogs, and where they came from I don't remember. And we would get enough gas to go out to Milton Dam, and we would camp under the stars and for the weekends.
Do you remember how much gasoline was at the time?
13 cents a gallon. 13 to 15 cents a gallon.
Would you stay many days when you do that?
2 days. If it didn't rain, we'd stay 3.
By then your luck was running out. Did you know anyone who was in college at the time?
No. I don't remember anybody.
Don't either.
You wouldn't remember what it would cost at the time to go to college?
No, I wouldn't remember that either.
Did you belong to a union at the time?
Not 1935. Not during the Depression.
How much, or when, at what point did you belong to a union?
In 1936, I got a job over at the Truscon Steel. At that time was 35, it was. I got back at the Truscon and they had a closed shop. And you had to join the union. It was a closed shop then. You had to belong to the union when you got hired. And I worked about 6 months, and which I worked there before the Depression came. And I worked about 6 months and got laid off, and before that I got the job over to General Fireproofing, and I would work a month or two and get laid off, and they would call you back after a month. So my department was getting picking up again, and I knew they were calling some men back in my department, so I went back to the employment office and told them why wasn't I called back to work. So they called me in, and they says, you're not coming back to work here anymore because you belong to a union over to Truscon Steel, and you're blackballed throughout the whole valley just because you belong to the union.
Were the unions largely interested in economics at the time, or politics?
No, I think they were more for the welfare of the working class. There was no politics involved at the time, or politics weren't mentioned at the time. It was just better working conditions. That was the main thing, better working conditions at the time.
Do you know if union members saw themselves as Democrats or socialists at the time?
No, I wouldn't say that either. I wouldn't say, because political parties weren't mentioned at the time.
It was just a...
just bitterness.
Case of being a member.
Just a case of being a member, and the bitterness, the way working people were treated during the Depression. And, I wouldn't say it was politics involved at all.
Do you remember any?
Are there any other things that you could remember about the Depression, perhaps any little stories?
I can remember going hunting one time, and this farmer was nice enough to let us park in these, near his barn, and left us hunt on his property. And we came back up to our car at noon to have our lunch. And we had a car that had a spare tire on the back. It was a Model A Ford, and the tire was completely bald. To me, it was worth a lot of money, because you couldn't afford to buy any tires, but the tire was bald. And this farmer had about 8 or 10 nice big hogs. They weighed around 350, 400 pound apiece. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'll give you any one of these hogs for that spare tire. And this fellow that owned the car says, no, sir. He says, not on your life will I give you that spare tire for a hog. So you can see how cheap meat was at the time and what a spare tire meant to him.
That was a nice story.